Couldn't have chosen many songs that would be better introductions, better lead-ins to our topic of discussion this morning. How do I grow closer to God? Nearer to Him, walking closely with God. So many of the songs that we sing, draw me nearer, nearer my God to Thee, nearer still nearer, closer to Thee, abide with me, just a closer walk with Thee. Our tradition of hymns is rich with pleas for nearness to God. This is the way that we most often hear the desire expressed for people who recognize the need for spiritual renewal and revitalization in their lives. How many times have you talked to a person who has said, I am just trying to feel closer to God? It's what I'm working towards in my life, to feel like I am closer to my Lord. And we recognize that in seasons of our lives where we do not feel close to God, that there is a problem. We recognize maybe we're drifting. Something has gone amiss. We are in a situation of difficulty, and that needs to be fixed. Well, hopefully we can do more than just identifying that there is a problem. Oftentimes, that seems to be a great failing of humanity. We're very good at figuring out that something is wrong, but maybe we don't often spend time to figure out how to deal with the situation. If we recognize that growing closer to God is a good and worthy goal, and we can see plainly that the better we do at growing closer to the Lord, that the closer to home we actually are. We are moving on towards the path that we want to be on, that leads to the place where we want to be with Him, where we truly want and need to be. Well, how do we do that? Are you doing it right now today? Investigate yourself, your situation, your trajectory, closer or further. Today, let's consider some ways in which we can maybe resituate ourselves and come near to God. We are thankful for so many who have decided to spend their morning with us. We do have a number of folks that are visiting with us. That's always an encouragement. That we do feel profoundly. And hopefully you know and understand that about your presence today, that it has helped each of us. But for everyone here, not just those visiting, not just those we've seen 1,000 times, wherever you fall on that spectrum, we're happy that you've decided to spend your time with us worshiping God. And my prayer always is that what we discuss in our time together will be of benefit to you. I think that it can be, and I hope that it will be. If we are going to meet this goal, it must, and I don't typically use, I don't use capital letters lightly, okay? I don't just capitalize everything for emphasis. But I'm going to use it there. You must. It absolutely has to begin with a determination of your heart. And please make that statement behind me as personal as possible. You specifically have to have this proper mindset. We are starting with the most important one. Like anyone else, I hate to admit failure or weakness. I hate to admit that there are things that I cannot do. And you probably feel the same in your life. But here is one that we all have towards each other. If you do not determine in your heart and in your mind that you actually want a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, I cannot really do anything to help. Or I should say, I can't do much for you, nor can anyone else. I won't say we can't do anything for you. I can tell you why it's important. I can describe for you the benefits of a closer relationship to our Lord. We can show you what there is to gain. We can tell you that salvation rests in God alone, that peace and joy and strength for trials and confidence and security, true life itself, these are wonderful blessings that are found only in this close abiding with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that all of those things grow and that you gain more of them the closer and closer you get to Him. I can lay out all of those benefits and gains for you, but unless you choose to strengthen the relationship, there isn't much to be done. There's simply a limit to how much I or anyone else in your life is able to help with that. It begins here. It begins in your mind. What do you want? The Apostle Paul writes to us in Colossians chapter 3 and describes this mindset that we have to have. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. The question that we have to answer this morning then, are you a Christian? Are you someone who considers yourself a servant of God, a disciple of Christ? Were you raised with Christ? If those things describe you, what do you need to do? Seek Him. Put your mind where He is. Put your heart where He is. And dwell on those things. Find your life with Him. Find your being with Him. But that is where we absolutely have to begin. Once more, I won't say, if you're missing on number one, then just leave. I'm never going to make some kind of a bold, outrageous statement like that. Hopefully you would if you're saying, I'm not sure if I'm there yet. Well, pay attention to what is available and consider the things that are only found in Christ. But without reaching this point individually, there is only so much that can be done. Start there with a desire to be with Christ and set your mind there on those things of eternal import. This point has been made so many times that it almost does not need to be repeated, but it does bear mentioning. It's no less important after all this time. That communication is absolutely vital to the establishment and maintenance and growth of any relationship that we have. We instinctively recognize the need for communication, the transmission of information and thoughts and emotions with another person. We recognize the need for that in establishing and strengthening a relationship. What does your friend advise you when you're in third grade or the first time that you begin to recognize that girls maybe aren't all that bad and you actually kind of like the way some of them look? Your friend tells you, why don't you just go talk to her? And so that's what you realize I've got to do if I want to actually know this person and have any kind of a relationship with them. I need to go talk to them. Then you get a little bit older and then you're asking for a phone number. This is when people still used phone numbers to talk to people. Not just for everything but talking on the phone. But you need that so that we can stay in contact. I'll talk to you and I'll listen to you and you'll talk to me and you will listen to me. And we'll communicate in this way. Any marriage or friendship or parent-child relationship or business environment or sports team or a healthy church, all of those things rely upon communication. And when that breaks down, the whole thing does. When no one is talking to each other and knows what is going on, when no one can voice a concern, when no one can hear what is happening on the ground level, if that communication is not taking place, then the relationship isn't there. If we aren't speaking together, what do we really have? Jesus talks in Matthew chapter 6, in the midst of His Sermon on the Mount. He discusses a little bit about prayer. And He describes there in verse 6 what we are to do when we pray to the Father. In Matthew 6, in verse 6, He says that you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, I think that Jesus is emphasizing there the private nature of personal prayer, maybe even exaggerating it, to contrast with the odious, attention-grabbing public prayers on the street corners of the hypocrites of his day and time, who just wanted people to know, I am so in touch with God that you can hear me two streets over when I'm communicating with him. But doesn't that passage that we just read suggest to us the warmth and the comfort of that time spent in private communication with the one whom Jesus terms in that passage the Father, and how he will begin his model prayer, Our Father who is in heaven? That there is and should be this fundamentally close, familial, dependent relationship that we have on him, but that it is our privilege to, in these private moments of time, close ourselves off from everything else that might interfere and distract and simply talk to him who is in the secret place, but who hears and who rewards and who knows who we are. You need to talk to him. If you have any hope in this life of finding yourself close to the Father, you must communicate. Often, regularly, fervently, with focus, with determination, for a wide variety of reasons, to give thanks, to bring a petition, to bring a complaint, to offer praise, to seek aid. There are so many things, if you consider your relationship with your earthly parents, or with any other people that you love, what do you talk about? Any number of things. Everything, hopefully. I hope you have that relationship with your parents or with your children that everything can be discussed. Well, this is how it is to be with your Father who is in the secret place. You simply communicate with him. And if you don't, you know the end of that relationship the same way that it is with anyone that we have on earth. When you don't, it withers and dies. Communication does work both ways. You also need to see and to meditate upon what he has already communicated to all of us. That would be foolish, wouldn't it, if you said, I'm going to have a relationship with someone who is not here physically. They don't live in my house or they don't live in town, so I don't get to see them all the time. We'll communicate in another way. So maybe I call him on the phone, but he likes to write letters, and so he's written me these letters. But when they show up, I don't read them. But we're good friends. Yeah, pen pals. But I certainly don't read when he writes to me. You'd say of that relationship, I don't know that that's really working out so well. I don't know that you're being attentive to it. What God has said to us, what he has communicated in his word that explains who he is, it explains his actions on your behalf. It explains his motivations and his character. Be familiar with that. Understand who and what he is and what he has done. In doing that, once more, you grow closer to him, a better understanding of him, a greater knowledge of who and what he actually is. Let me also offer the idea that even the things we are doing this morning in worshiping God are things that are meant to bring us into the right position before God. If you look in your Bibles at Leviticus chapter 1, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 2 uses a word that will be repeated afterwards nearly 90 times in the Old Testament, and you'll find it even a couple of times in the New Testament. But we find a word, Corban. Leviticus chapter 1 verse 2 begins reading by saying that when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, and then begins describing the offering. And that will happen for much of the rest of Leviticus and several other instances throughout the rest of the law in Numbers. You'll find these ideas of offerings that are brought to the Lord. And that is the word Corban. That's our first biblical encounter with Corban or some form of it. It describes the offerings that are brought to Jehovah by Israelites who determine to worship him. And many of these offerings that are described there throughout the book of Leviticus are free will offerings. They are not part of a specific commandment for a specific holy day or special ceremony. They are free will acts of devotion and pure and simple worship that is being offered to God. Now, the reason we're talking about that this morning is because the root of that word, Corban, means to draw near. He is telling the people, when any one of you brings the thing that draws you near to the Lord, this is how you do it. In some sense, we could say that is describing a purely physical process as the giver draws near to the altar or something such as that. But the true and deeper understanding of the word is that the giver is drawing near to God Himself when he approaches in worship. The offering that you bring to Almighty God does what? Because it is an offering. It draws you near. You grow closer to Him through that process of coming before Him with the offering. How do you get closer to God? You seek Him out in worship. You go where He is. You try to find Him. There He is, enthroned in glory. Come before Him with praise. We've already spoken of prayer, the need to communicate with Him personally. We see the benefit of delving into His Word and using it to learn of Him. That is equated with worship oftentimes, especially in the Old Testament. What about singing praises to God? I certainly pray that each one of us can recognize that recognition and praise of the Creator helps you to come into His presence. If we don't see that, maybe we aren't paying attention to the words that we are actually offering to Him. Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. Do you recognize the proximity that that is accomplishing in coming to God with those kinds of words on our lips, that you are drawing near to Him and doing so? We remember the Lord's death. And in doing that, how often do we use terminology that reflects the reality of His presence with us? What do we call this ceremony that we have engaged in this morning? The Lord's Supper. We say we have gathered around His table. Some of us might talk about participating in communion. That doesn't just mean it's a communal action. It's referring to our communion with God, something that we are participating as He is with us in that observance. Now, please let me be very clear what I am saying here, though. And I don't mean this to sound harsh. I hope it will not come off that way. You grow closer to God by actually worshiping Him, not by merely being in a place where worship is happening. And I hope you understand the difference. It is very easy. It is no thing to brag about, to be quite honest. To just be where people are doing something good. I won't contradict myself with what I said this morning. I'm glad you're here. Your presence is a signal of what you find important. And that's the only visible metric that I can go on. I am overjoyed that you're with us this morning. But we do have to be frank also in saying just the mere fact that you are here does not necessarily mean that you have worshiped God this morning. How does worship take place? Real, personal worship that involves your heart as well as your speech. It involves your mind as well as your seat in the pew. That has to happen on a level that transcends the physical things that we can observe. If you are actually committed to God and you are seeking Him out in that worship. With that caveat being issued, if you are actually doing that, if you are making that a priority in your life, that I want to worship God, I want to do that any time that I can, then you are growing closer to Him. And yes, this should not be something we do merely on Sunday, merely on Wednesday, merely when someone tells me that I must. But it does need to be something that we seek out often and see the value in as we try to grow closer to our Maker. Our final point should be very encouraging to us. I know it is to me. to recognize that this is an action that is reciprocated. It's a desire that is returned by God. When Paul spoke to the Athenians at Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, if you remember his address when he was finally given time to speak to some of those very wise, very philosophical Greeks in Acts chapter 17. Paul said to those Athenians that God had created man so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. And that kind of hope that Paul talks about, the hope that they can find Him, seek Him, is answered in that clear affirmative that we have from James chapter 4. Think of James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Not draw near to God and just see what happens. Draw near to God, but you know, He can be kind of pricklish, so who knows. Draw near to God, but He's reclusive sometimes and difficult to find. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. With His infinite power for finding, with His infinite power for communicating, with His infinite power for reconciliation and welcome, He will draw near to you. This is what God has always wanted from His people. He has always sought after men who will seek Him, and when they do approach Him, He welcomes them. It isn't a trick. It's not a trap. He desires those close personal connections with each of us, and in fact did so before we might have ever thought we wanted the same thing. From the time you were born, from before the time you were born, we could say accurately, there was God saying that He wanted to grow closer to you. Really, we're late to the game when we're asking this question in a lesson on a Sunday morning, this far into our lives. How can I grow closer to God? There has been our Maker all along saying, essentially, I hope they will want to be close to me because I sure do with them. The language of Hebrews chapter 11 is instructive. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, that is God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. A few things from this passage that I'll mention, and then the lesson will be yours for this morning. One, notice please, and recognize the implication here that faith allows us to be pleasing to God. What is faith if not the establishment of trust and allegiance and confidence that comes from knowledge of Him? This is relationship and nearness. But by saying without faith it is impossible to please Him, isn't that implying the opposite of that? With faith, it is possible to please Him. With that close relationship to God that faith entails, you can be pleasing to God. That, as we have said, is what He wants. It is pleasure to Him. Two, we see that there is almost an equation of terms in the first half of this verse. With pleasing Him, impossible to please Him, and coming to God. For he who comes to God. You see those two really being put on almost equal footing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. It is the coming to God also that is pleasing to Him. Again, we see the idea is nailed home, that this is simply what He wants. But thirdly, and I feel I personally overlook this oftentimes when I'm reading this verse, it's a well-known passage. We see the idea of reward for a specific class of people who are participating in a specific action. But what is the reward? If we're answering that question from this verse, we could just think of it through various illustrations. For the man who is looking for his car keys. You've misplaced your car keys before, or your wallet, or something else. Personal confession time. Losing something or having misplaced something annoys me more than almost anything in life. Beth can tell you this. Some of my darker moments at home of, you know, more childish moods take place when, where is my so-and-so? I hate that feeling. I pride myself on having a good memory. I can remember where I put stuff. And when I can't remember where I put my headphones or my whatever it is, then, well, I get angry about that. And you want to find that. It's a terrible feeling, especially with something important. I need to find it. Where are those keys? I can't leave the house unless I find the keys. What's the reward for the man who is frantically tearing apart the house looking for the keys? If you said to him, you have one wish, what is it? He says, I want the keys. What is the reward for the man who is on a lifelong quest to find the best slice of pizza in New York City? To finally find it and get that prized one, the one that tops all of them. What is the reward for the man who diligently seeks anything, finding it? So, our passage. He is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. What is the reward? It's him. He's the reward. The reward for seeking God is God. Just as James told us, draw near to him. Diligently seek him. And he will draw near to you. He will reward you for that faithful seeking after God. How do we grow closer? Well, we must encourage ourselves and remind ourselves that your effort in that regard pays off. That it is not a fruitless, futile, fool's errand of a task that will just cause you heartache and confusion and disappointment all throughout your life. I try to grow closer to God and nothing seems to work. If you make the effort, if you diligently seek, you find. And you keep asking and you keep knocking and you keep seeking. And God draws near and brings that reward to you, which is His presence. The nearness that you seek with Him. I pray this morning that this is a lesson you would look at and say, this sounds like something I need to do. This sounds important to me. One of the things I often question or wonder about when deciding on a topic for a lesson, will people see the need for this? I see the need for it, or I wouldn't look into it, but will people get it? Why I'm up here spending their time talking about it? I hope this morning that you get it. That we need to see the value in having this close relationship with God. Your soul depends upon it. Where you will spend eternity depends upon it. Whether or not you are in this right relationship with Him. Of course, without being in Christ in the first place. Any talk about relative distances or relative relationships is all foolishness. A person who is outside of Christ, there aren't degrees of that, so to speak. If you're outside, you're outside. And if this morning I'm talking to those who are outside, who have not rendered obedient faith to Jesus Christ, who have been baptized into Christ, as the New Testament would describe for us, then I say to you humbly but with love, you must rectify that. You must repent of your sins and obey our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him in full faith, appealing to Him for His grace and mercy. And we can help you with that this morning if you know of the need to do so. Would you be saved? Would you be close to Him? Would you be eternally with Him? We can help in any way. Make your need known. Come forward right now as we stand and sing.